Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, and somatic body psychotherapist, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, the romantic novel, Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the love-changing 30-Day Love Challenge. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. So today I'm delighted to be speaking with Yoel Swan, author of a book about indigo adults, highly sensitive, emotional, compassionate, and empathic individuals. Maybe you are an indigo adult, or maybe someone you know or work with is. Yoel is a spiritual counselor, mentor, and coach with degrees in literature, music, and homeopathy. Her book gives indigos and feminine souls the tools to break free of codependency, release themselves from the historic imprint of trauma in their DNA, and integrate all aspects of their soul to develop an empowered fifth-dimensional perception of life, which she will be explaining. A modern seer who perceives life as energy, Yoel lives in the mountains of North Carolina and helps people around the world create a joyful and abundant life in alignment with their soul. So I'm really delighted to be meeting with you, Yoel. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Erica. It's a pleasure being here.
So I would love to know about your background and education and work experience. What has led you to write this unusual book about indigo adults, even to discover that there is such a thing as indigo adults?
Well, I guess that was my own process of self-discovery, going through, first of all, feeling out of place and different, like a stranger in a strange land growing up, and not having any guidance as to why I perceived life differently and why I was so sensitive and could kind of take in energies that weren't really mine, and how I learned to navigate the world without really ever feeling like I was connected, like mm-hmm. I was always an outsider. And so it was my own process of self-exploration, starting with, years in psychotherapy and then embarking on a spiritual path. But even though I had many years of therapy, many years in the spiritual path with enlightened teachers, it was still not, I still felt like I had a place, like there was a piece missing for me. I had a spiritual family, and I even created my own family, but it was really a painful divorce that kind of helped me delve deeper into myself and discover that I was an indigo adult expressing the wounded feminine on the planet, and that some of my clients were also indigos without knowing, but a lot of them had a lot of the indigo features, but not all of them, so they were feminine souls not like indigos, which I describe as feminine souls with certain masculine qualities that are, you know, that are our main features there. So it was, like I said, my own process of self-exploration and getting to know who I was and why I felt the way I felt and what motivated me to do what I did and have the types of relationships that I had and so on that kept making me feel disconnected and disempowered in a world that did not make sense to me at all.
So are indigo adults people who were originally indigo children that grew up, or is it something different?
No, it's the same. You know, it's just that the media portrayed indigos as children, and everybody kept the idea that only children are indigos. But, of course, those children grow up. And another aspect that I explore in the book is that we've been here for a long time. You know, it's just that in the 70s, when indigo children were discovered, it was the time when we were ready to recognize that there were different types of souls on the planet, that we weren't all the same, and we weren't all evolving in the same way or having the same purpose or mission, because we were ready to go into the process that we are experiencing now, which is hastening that awakening towards a different cosmic cycle and also a different planetary cycle. So it was just the idea that indigos were children that kind of kept stuck in our mind, but we've been here for a very long time, along with many other soul types, feminine and masculine, that I explore in the book as well. That's why the book is subtitle is Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. We're not the only feminine soul type.
And then I have another important question. Are you only talking about women, or are there men who are indigo adults?
What I'm talking about here are spiritual qualities. You know, the qualities of that tend towards the feminine principle, you know, of being receptive and sensitive and empathic, connected to the planet, to nature, creative, as opposed to the more masculine, which is goal-oriented and logical and action-oriented. So anybody can be an indigo, and anybody can be a feminine soul. We alternate, you know, female and male bodies to kind of understand each other a little better, go through the different experiences that being in one or the other gender entails. And so
you mean
it
in different
matter.
Life? You're talking about in different lifetimes we do that.
Yeah, we alternate, you know, we alternate all sorts of experiences because we're here to really understand the whole human experience, what it means to be a human in this physical plane. And so we are both men and women, rich and poor, you know, powerful, powerless, you name it. We have to go through all of those polarities to get a better understanding and a full experience of being human here in a human as a human incarnation. So it's not gender based at all. It's feminine. I mean, it's spiritual qualities that I'm talking about.
All right. So now, can you just explain what are the most significant features of an indigo soul, and how do they differ from other soul types? Maybe there are to explain what the other soul types are also. But first, what are the qualities of an indigo adult?
Well, indigos are, you know, they share with all feminine souls that high sensitivity, receptiveness, you know, so we're intuitive, empathic, compassionate, drawn to more metaphysical aspects of life, more spiritual subjects. We're connected to animals and nature, because, you know, this planet is a feminine planet, so nature has a very strong feminine quality. And we're also highly creative. You know, we need to have some creative outlet to remain sane in this world, and have a very hungry for a deeper understanding of things. We can't just take things at face value and just, you know, just be simply receptive and absorb everything. We need to process. We need to understand those things. And those are more masculine qualities that indigos show. So we are also very driven by a sense of purpose. And we need to have a purpose. We are goal-oriented, and that's also a masculine quality in indigos. Because without a purpose, without the sense that we're here to do something, we feel completely out of place and disconnected. So if we, indigos tend to suffer a lot, feel discouraged and disheartened and maybe depressed, because we need to have purpose on an ongoing basis. That's what keeps us moving forward and growing and finding ways to connect.
There's something more going on here, that if you're sensitive and you have to find meaning and you're creative, it's not easy to fit into the goal-oriented society where, you have to do things quickly, quick fixes, and have a simple answer.
Yeah, the world is so excessively masculine that it's very compartmentalized, very attached to the physical senses, very logical and rational. You have to be productive and you have to kind of follow the standards that support this excessive masculinity. But we all have feminine and masculine qualities within ourselves. And for indigos, this masculine qualities get, and the goal-oriented quality, kind of is colored, by the feminine, the highly feminine qualities in indigo. So it's not just about being productive and following the social standards. It's about integrating that those feminine qualities, that perception that makes us, more compassionate, more loving, more tolerant, but accomplish something in the world, do something with it. We're transformers. We're here to make change, create change. And so we've been planting seeds all along for this transformation. And so we need to integrate those two sides of ourselves, the feminine and the masculine, to be able to, turn things around and create a more balanced world where there's more feminine and also more, everything is more balanced. Right now, everything is very masculinized and extremely, because sometimes when I talk about this, people think that I think the masculine is bad or something, but it's not. It's just that it's the extreme of masculinity, and when that happens, it becomes very destructive. It's very aggressive, and that's what we see in the planet. And so we suffer because we're connected to this planet. We suffer all of that. We suffer the injustice, the lack of love, the war-oriented perception. And so we are bringing things into balance, to restore that balance, to take care of the planet, to take care of the feminine. I hope that makes sense.
So what are some of the other soul types, and how do they think? What are their purposes?
Well, there's a variety of soul types. And in the book, I explore that in detail, because I discovered this feminine masculine soul spectrum. So I use different archetypes to describe these different types. And because we were going through, and we're still going through this masculine cycle, the souls that came into, to play, to be part of this human experiment, were somehow supporting the masculine. So even feminine souls have been more predominantly the archetypes of the mother or the lover or the wounded maiden, I use the Greek goddesses for that, so Persephone and Demeter, and it's all these feminine souls that have been supporting somehow the masculine in some way by being kind of submissive and passive and it kind of giving away their power. And so now that we're shifting towards a more balanced, you know, a more feminine cycle, the souls that are coming in now, you know, those indigo children and crystal children and rainbow children all are more and more feminine. So they bring in more feminine qualities to turn things around. And the excessively masculine soul types will fade out, you know, will kind of move to a different plane, and more feminine souls will come and bring in more of that feminine, restore that feminine.
The Dalai Lama once said that the women of the West are going to be the ones to help save the planet from all the wars and all the problems. But the women of the West have to be the feminine women, from what you're saying.
Yes, and it's, and the reason why is because the West is very masculine, you know, more masculine than the Eastern cultures, on a subtle level, on a spiritual level, on a quality level, you know, because the whole world is very masculine. But the culture is very masculine, so it allows us to bring in the feminine and ground it in the world, in the physical, in the masculine, because we have those possibilities, you know, we have more possibilities than other cultures. And so we are bringing in those feminine qualities, which are subtle, which are internal, which are, you know, our inner power, our creative power. But we have the possibilities to kind of voice our beliefs and take action and achieve goals and do things, which is the masculine qualities that the culture allows. To bring that balance. So yeah, I agree totally. We are the ones making this change happen, transform all of this, because we can utilize the excessive masculinity to our advantage to ground spiritual values, you know, a higher perception, a higher reality in the physical.
One thing I've noticed
being
personally,
passive and not having options. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. What I've noticed is that I take these online courses from masters at promoting their products and their services, and they talk about being productive and, you know, setting up a schedule and doing this in the morning and do this every day. And I found that when you're creative, like I'm a creative person, I just can't function that way. It's like an idea comes to me and I work at that time, and then I go off to the health club and another idea comes, I come back and then I work for a few hours, but it's not rigid. So maybe could you talk
mm-hmm.
about that a little bit? Is that more of the feminine style or the indigo style?
Yeah, that's definitely more of a feminine quality. And, you know, because the feminine is more flexible and more fluid, you know, and it's more creative. It's more abundant, so we have that that flow that, you know, we can take advantage of. But we do need to balance that a little bit with the self-discipline that is masculine. And so it's not necessarily rigid, because that's what the masculine has become, but it has to be a little firmer. Like, okay, have a little bit of a structure so that we don't dissipate our energy, we don't procrastinate, you know, we are firmly anchored in what we're doing until we accomplish what we set to do. So yeah, we need the balance. And of course, it has to still be flexible. It has to be flowing for us to feel connected and empowered in what we're doing, but we definitely need to develop self-discipline to accomplish what, you know, and bring into reality what we want, our inner vision.
Thank you. And there's another piece. You say that the sense of otherness is what causes us problems. Talk a little bit more about what you mean by that sense of otherness and what happens.
Well, from a spiritual point of view, and from, again, this my perception of feminine and masculine, the ego, you know, that is formed during childhood has these two aspects as well. The feminine is the sense of self, which connects us to our inner voice, and of course, the true self, you know, the spiritual layers of the soul. And then the masculine aspect is what I call the sense of otherness, because that gets created through the interaction with others, especially authority figures, you know, like our parents or teachers or maybe family members or older siblings. And we absorb, you know, those dynamics they have between them that we observe in the world, and also the dynamics that we have with them. And so that sense of otherness becomes like a coat that you put on and you forget you're wearing. And it carries all the patterns, all the beliefs, all the dynamics that you've internalized from childhood in the interaction with the world, with others. So when we become adults, that sense of otherness, you know, gets reinforced, of course, and the sense of self diminishes. So our inner voice becomes smaller, and the sense of otherness becomes like this inner bully that is always saying, this is what you're supposed to do, you're wrong, this, you know, you don't know what you're doing, you can't be trusted, you know, you have no control, you have no power, you have no saying. And it kicks in every time we interact with others or the world. You know, when we want to accomplish something in the world, it kicks in, and it kind of tends to sabotage our endeavors. And we need to reinforce our sense of self to balance those things, because the world is so excessively masculine and dysfunctional, that sense of otherness kind of overpowers our perception, and it creates, you know, a distorted perception of who we truly are, because we're absolutely powerful and incredible beings that can manifest absolutely anything we set our minds to, if we are in alignment with our soul, with who we truly are, and integrate those aspects, the feminine and masculine, are more balanced within ourselves.
Yes, you're saying it's so important for us to get back to understanding who we are personally, each one of us, our own self.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that process of self-knowledge and self-awareness is key, because it's, and especially for feminine souls, because the feminine has become so wounded in the world, so devalued, that healing a feminine soul requires, you know, great self-awareness, self-discipline, absolute honesty, and creative focus to transcend the negative tendencies and karmic ties that we've accumulated, both individually and collectively.
Whoa, this is so much to take in. But there's another piece I don't want to forget to ask you about. You claim that we disconnected from the divine feminine and sunk into third dimension during the civilization of Atlantis, and that we need to leap into the fifth dimension. So please explain what you mean by that.
When during the civilization of Atlantis, we had a variety of soul types, and those who came in at some point were excessively masculine. I call those souls martial souls. They're still controlling, you know, the world. Those are the guys that promote that excessive masculinity, and they started kind of convincing, manipulating everyone to rebel and disconnect from all the other planets that we were connected to, because the Earth is like a hub, and the, you know, galactic federation, and all of that, and our higher masters, you know, our teachers, who are actually the designers of this planet. And so we were kind of convinced to rebel and take charge of the planet on our own. And of course, because we were kind of teenager soul types, we said, like, yes, I want to take charge. This is like a rite of passage for me. And we agreed. We rebelled. And, of course, our higher masters had no choice but to let us do that because we are, you know, guided by free will. And it's also because the planet itself was moving towards a masculine cycle. So these guys were leading that transition that way. And what happened was that because the excessively masculine is so controlling, it needs to control, it needs to have power, it needs to, you know, compartmentalize things and explore, you know, it became such an experiment for them that they start playing with different types of power. And at some point, everything just blew up. They lost control of that. And in doing so, we disconnected from the feminine lunar energies that we were connected to. And there was, and this is going to sound really weird for some people, but, you know, they kind of pierced through the some of the inner layers of the earth where lower energies abide. And so it just became such a mess that we sank into third dimension from fifth dimension. You know, the civilization of Atlantis and the previous one, Lemuria, were in fifth dimension. So we were much more aware of our conscious nature, of our divine nature. And so when we pierced through that and sank and got disconnected from the lunar energies, that's when this masculine cycle started, and we've been going through it for, you know, over 10,000 years, getting more and more masculine along the process, and the feminine being more and more wounded, more suppressed into the subconscious, into, you know, hidden realms. Now, it's important to understand that right now we're at a juncture of shifts, and so we're going back towards the feminine. We're turning around because we've reached the end of that cycle, or they overlap a little bit. And then we're also moving back to fifth dimension at the same time that, you know, the planetary cycle of the age of Aquarius is also taking place. So we're at a very challenging but also powerfully full with potential time when all feminine souls need to step up to the mission to restore the feminine, to bring balance, and to really experience a more enlightened period on this planet.
Wow, that sounds really exciting for all of us indigo people that have been struggling for a long time, you know, to be heard, to express what you want to say, and yet you don't quite feel heard. You know, it's so interesting. So, y'all, how can people get in touch with you? How can they get your book, and how can they get in touch with you?
They can learn more about the book at, you know, the book has its own website. It's theindigojournals.com. They can also go to Amazon and look for it. And the title, again, is The Indigo Journals, Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. They can purchase it on both on print or as an ebook. They can learn more about me and get in touch with me through my main website, which is soulguidedcoach.com, and see all the different services that I offer, like spiritual counseling and business coaching for spiritual entrepreneurs. I have an individual Indigo Soul Healing program as well. And I'm launching a group program this year based on the book, based on all the tools that I provide in the book, that is called Unlock Your Hidden Power for Self-Healing, Abundance, and Joy. And people can subscribe to my newsletter there at soulguidedcoach.com to stay in touch and, you know, get notices and weekly inspiration.
It sounds wonderful. So before we leave, I'd like you to give one tip or suggestion to our listeners about how they might begin to heal spiritually.
One very simple way is to ground yourself in the present moment. And that's a tool that you have it's inherent in you. You don't have to do anything, learn anything. It's through connecting to your own breathing. Because the breathing connects you to the physical body, and the physical body only exists in the present moment. And it's also grounded in the planet. So it connects you to the feminine directly, and it anchors you in the present moment, which is your place of power. So just being aware of your breathing and making it slower and deeper, you know, more anchored, you know, going to deeper places in yourself, in your body, can bring a lot of more of awareness, a sense of connection to yourself, to your home, which is your body and the earth, and also quiet the mind that is always getting in the way and trying to maintain that distorted self-perception. So definitely learn to be aware of your breathing, where is it at, how is it flowing, where is it blocked or what's going on, and try to make it deeper and slower to be more connected to yourself.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. It's been delightful speaking to you, Yoel.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Erica.
So I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond and Be Healthy and Happy. If you're ready for love, join the 30-Day Love Challenge when it's available next. You can get on the early list. You can find the link at my other website, drericagoodstone.com. So I look forward to speaking to you again in the next episode.